rest of us can turn to 2 Timothy chapter 2. 2 Timothy chapter number 2. I am not used to this high of a pulpit. This is really high. We have one pulpit at a church, and it was for my former pastor, Lee Cadenhead, and he's vertically challenged, we'll say that. So it's about like this high. I don't know. I feel like, I don't know. 2 Timothy chapter number 2. And read a few verses here, and then we'll get started. We have a presentation in the 11 o'clock hour, and I'll explain the ministry and everything for those of you who are not familiar. And but for now, we'll be in 2 Timothy 2 and verse number 24. Read these verses here, and then we'll pray. 2 Timothy 2, 24 says this, "And the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach, patient, in meekness, instructing those that oppose themselves, if God peradventure will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth." Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you for this day. Lord, thank you for the opportunity to be here. And Lord, I pray that, Lord, as I stand behind this pulpit and open up your word and preach it, Lord, I pray you'd help me. Lord, I recognize I can't do anything without you. I do want to help these folks here. But Lord, I can't even do that. So Lord, I pray that you would give us the help that we need. I pray, Lord, that your word would have free course. And Lord, that the seed of your word would fall on good ground. Lord, I pray that you'd help us not to deceive ourselves and just being hearers of the word. But Lord, help us to be doers. And it's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. The Lord dealt me a while back. I was talking to a friend of mine. He recently got saved. He was definitely a babe in Christ. He was just saved for a few months, and talking to him about certain things, talking to him about the Bible, he seemed to be leaning towards the weightier things in the Bible. And what I mean by that, he's looking at Zechariah, he's looking at Revelation, and he's trying to focus in on prophecy, and that's all good, that's fine. I mean, it's Bible, it's the whole counsel of God, but when you tend to focus in on some of that meat, you can get in trouble. For lack of a better term, I know a lot of people want to, you know, they see the things going on in the world, they watch the news, and all of a sudden you start thinking about prophecies that are being fulfilled before our eyes. And but for that certain individual, I knew that he was a new Christian. I knew that he was what the Bible calls a babe in Christ. And so as he's talking to me over and over about the different things that he's seeing in Zechariah and trying to figure out what those things are. And by the way, you're not going to figure all the things out in the Bible. There's a lot of stuff in that Bible that the best preacher that you know has no clue what it means. So you know, just keep that in mind. But he's trying to figure this stuff out. And I told him, I was trying to explain to him that, you know, that he's a new Christian, that he's a babe in Christ. And you should probably focus on the milk of the word instead of the meat of the word. Because what happens when a baby tries to take a T-bone steak and tries to eat it? Don't really work out very well, does it? You can end up choking on it. And that's what I was trying to explain to him. Well, he kind of took that wrong. I think what he heard was I was calling him a baby. I think that's the only thing that he heard. And so there was some strife and contention, and I was trying to explain to him, you know, I'm not trying to be mean. I'm just trying to help you. Like, I'm just saying that you might probably should focus on, like, the milk of the word, like, you know, character, you know, showing up on the job on time. You know, not back-talking your boss. You know, like milky stuff in the Bible, talking about that, you know, the servant obeying the master and whatnot. The milk of the word. Probably should start focusing on that instead of that angel that has six eyes and Zechariah or something. And I was trying to calm him down, and he ended up leaving and on good terms as far as I know. And he walked away. After the dust settled, kind of, and that little heated argument that we had. And as soon as he left, the Lord kind of spoke to my heart and said, "You were not gentle with him." And I began to think, and I began to think of what the Bible says, and that's what provoked this study of me, my lack of gentleness. And I hope it'll help you. It sure has helped me. In this verse in 2 Timothy 2, it says, "The servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle." You have a problem, I have a problem, if all I want to do, if all we want to do is just fight. That's a problem. And the Bible talks about brawling. We'll see it here in a second. But, you know, you got in the book of Proverbs, it's talking about a brawling woman. Have y'all heard of that before in the Bible? Do you think that's talking about a woman going up and punching people? Mm-mm. It's talking about with your words. Did you know that you can fight with your words? You can have strife and you can brawl without ever throwing a punch. And the Bible says the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach, patient, in meekness instructing those. We're going to look at some verses here. We're going to look at several verses. And you're going to see gentleness and meekness is kind of going together. It's like that Bible says, the gentleness and meekness of Christ. And we ought to have that. And meekness instructing those that oppose themselves. You see, if you want to try to give instruction like I was trying to do with that other brother in Christ, we have to do it with the right spirit, with the right attitude, or we're not going to do what God told us to do. Now, here's my justification of it. We're prone to fall in this trap of, well, it's the Bible. It's true. And by the way, what I was telling that guy was true, but the way I was saying it was wrong. See, you can say the right thing and do it the wrong way. You understand? There's certain things that, like, we'll justify ourselves and say, well, it's right there in the Bible. It's what the Bible says. What the Bible says. Yeah, but your spirit, your attitude, your heart, your motive even, and doing the instruction and doing what you're doing, is that right? Turn to 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. 1 Thessalonians 2. Servant of the Lord. You know, we hear all the time that I just want to serve the Lord with my life. Just want to serve the Lord. Well, the Bible says the servant of the Lord must not strive but be gentle. If you want to serve the Lord, let's try to work on gentleness. 1 Thessalonians chapter number 2. 1 Thessalonians 2. Let's look at verse number 5. 1 Thessalonians 2, 5. That's why it don't make any sense. I'm in 2 Thessalonians. That's why. 1 Thessalonians 2, 5. It says this, "For neither at any time use we flattering words, as ye know, nor a cloak of covetousness, God is witness." You see, here's another trap when it comes to gentleness. A lot of people, they say, well, we got to be gentle. But you'll end up in the other ditch of just giving flattery and not ever telling anybody the truth because, oh, I'm going to be gentle with them. I don't want to be strifeful. I don't want to be cause contention. So you'll just flatter them instead of giving them the truth. No, we're supposed to give the truth, but the right way. You see that? Don't fall into the ditch of, well, I'm going to be charitable and I'm going to be gentle, so therefore I'm going to ignore the truth and ignore rebuke and ignore all this other stuff because I don't want to hurt them, I don't want to offend them, I know they're a babe in Christ. Don't fall into the ditch of just giving them flattering words and telling them they're doing good when they're not. Right? "Neither at any time use we flattering words, as ye know, nor a cloak of covetousness, God is witness." See, this is like, I hope I can say this here. This is like Joel Osteen. Flattering words, right? Leading everybody in I am. Like, I am beautiful. I am lovely. You're not beautiful. Most people in that congregation is not beautiful. And he's telling them that you're beautiful and you're wonderful and I'm rich. And a lot of them aren't. So that's flattering words. And Paul's saying, we didn't do that. We didn't use flattering words. We didn't do a cloak of covetousness. By the way, all that stuff like Joel Osteen and a lot of TV preachers, it's all covetousness. They just want your money. That's what it is. And Paul's saying, we weren't like that. We weren't giving you flattering words. We don't have a cloak of covetousness. God is witness. Verse number 6, "Nor of man sought we glory." Man, how many people... how many preachers are just seeking for glory? And they just say the things that they say just so they can get praised. "Neither of you, nor yet of others, when we might have been burdensome as the apostles of Christ. Verse 7, but we were gentle among you, even as a nurse cherisheth her children. So being affectionately desirous of you, we were willing to have imparted unto you not the gospel of God only, but also our own souls, because you were dear unto us. Here's something that I had to realize, that when it comes to babes in Christ, when it comes to other believers that have just got saved or they're trying to grow in the Lord, that is God's child. That is God's baby. And we need to make sure that just as much as that child of God or that new babe in Christ, that new believer, just as much as that new believer is precious in his sight, it needs to be precious in our sight as well. He's saying, you were dear unto us. We didn't use flattering words nor cloak of covetousness. We didn't seek glory among you. We were gentle because you were dear unto us. That's our attitude. That's the kind of attitude that we need to have, not just to the babes in Christ, but to all men be gentle. That's what it's saying. It says, verse 7, but we were gentle among you, even as a nurse cherisheth her children. I started looking up in the Bible about the different, in the Bible, when that word nurse shows up. And I came across this one. Turn to 2 Samuel chapter number 4. 2 Samuel chapter number 4. The Bible's saying we're supposed to be gentle like a nurse. 2 Samuel chapter number 4. Y'all know the story about Mephibosheth, I'm sure. He had a nurse, didn't he? And his nurse failed. And Mephibosheth ended up hurt. I love the story of Mephibosheth. You know, he's lame at his feet, and you know, it comes to King David, and he said, "I want to show kindness for Jonathan's sake." Therefore, he gives this man that's lame a seat at his table, and that's a great picture, a type and a picture of us. You know, God, for Jesus' sake, has given us a seat at the table, and we're never going to leave. That's a blessing. Yeah. In 2 Samuel chapter number 4, Let's find out how he became lame at his feet. 2 Samuel 4, verse number 4. And Jonathan, Saul's son, had a son that was lame of his feet. He was 5 years old when the tidings came of Saul and Jonathan out of Jezreel. And his nurse took him up and fled. And it came to pass, as she made haste to flee, that he fell and became lame. And his name was Mephibosheth. You see, you have a nurse here. And you know what this nurse was trying to do? She was trying to get Mephibosheth, get him to safety. But she did it the wrong way. Because what she did, by the way, she had good intentions. Me talking to that new believer, I had good intentions. I wanted to help him. But just because your intentions are good, your method may not be good. And just like this nurse was trying to get Mephibosheth, you know what she was doing? She was trying to get Mephibosheth where he needed to be. And you know what you and I can do? Some of y'all that have kids, and some of y'all that are discipling some people, you're trying to get your kids, you're trying to get new believers where they need to be, right? But you can make haste and be hasty with that and not be gentle and not be patient and not have meekness, and it'll end up hurting them than helping them. You see that? See, this nurse, she's trying to get Mephibosheth where he needed to be. Her intentions were good, but the Bible says she made haste. And I'm telling you, when you're, there's a lot of parents, they're trying to raise up their kids, and you're trying to get them where they need to be spiritually, you're trying to get them where they need to be when it comes to maturity. But if you're not gentle with them, you're going to end up hurting them. Does that make sense? Because even though your intentions are good, the method and how you go about getting them where they need to be, it may cause a lot of damage. And it says here that he was lame at his feet. I wonder if our lack of gentleness, if our lack of patience, when we deal with people, when we deal with our family, when we deal with other believers, I wonder how much that affects their walk with God. And we got a lot of people that are walking around and their walk with God is, they're lame at their feet. How many times have you gone and knocked on doors, you know, and you invite somebody to church, they say, oh, I'm not going to church anymore. And they begin to explain why, and it's all because they got hurt. Now, what we want to do, what I want to do, is say, get over it. You know, serve God, not because of other people. Serve God for because God's never going to disappoint you, right? That's what I want to say. But at the same time, the other side of that coin is, what if we have leaders and people in church that are not gentle? And they're causing all this damage to people. And some of these people's hurt are legitimate. And their walk with God is now hindered. Because we're not doing our job and being gentle and giving the truth. See, the thing is, we need to give the truth. I'm not saying don't give the truth. I'm just saying the way you give the truth ought to be with gentleness, with meekness. Hey, these people are dear unto us. We don't need to be hasty when trying to get them where they need to be. We need to be patient and long-suffering and gentle. All right, this is going so well. All right, turn to Titus chapter number 3. Titus number 3. Chapter number 3. Getting a little thick in here. I don't know if that's conviction or just very bad preaching. I don't know what that is. Titus chapter number 3. I want you to keep in mind that I'm preaching this to myself. I know I don't have this all down. And like I said before, when the Lord dealt with me and said that, hey, you aren't gentle with this guy, he spoke to my heart and said, you weren't gentle with him. I looked at all these verses. I literally just typed in my phone, gentleness, looked up all the references that the Bible says about gentleness, and the Lord smote my heart about these things. Because it's so easy to justify yourself and saying, well, I'm giving them the truth. I'm telling them what the Bible says. But hey, your spirit, your attitude, how you go about doing that, that's what makes the difference. Titus chapter number 3 and verse number 2 says, to speak evil of no man. Man, we could preach there for a while. To speak evil of no man. To be no brawlers. Why you got to fight all the time? Ever notice somebody like, to be honest with you, I'm kind of like this. I'm trying to grow out of it and or whatever. But just like going and picking a fight, like, why you got to fight all the time? You know what that is? That's a proud thing. It's pride. Because I'm right. And I want to explain how I'm right. And you better agree with me or we're going to have problems. See, that's brawling. We're not supposed to speak evil of no man, to be no brawlers. What's the next two words? But gentle. Showing all meekness unto how many men? All men. See, the Greek word for all, no, it means all. All means all. Right? It's everybody. See, that's the thing. Like, it's not just about the new believers. It's not just about babes in Christ. We're supposed to be gentle with all men. See, here's where my mind goes. I'm thinking of people that's really, really hard to be gentle with, for lack of a better term. And the reason why it's hard to be gentle with them is because they've been saved for years. They ought to know better. Right? That's my justification. That's what I want to think. That's what I want to say. It's like, you know better. And what you need is a sharp rebuke. You know? And there's that strife and that brawling that comes up inside my heart. But the Bible says we ought to be gentle unto all men. And here's the thing that I realized. Just because you've been saved for years, you've been in church for 20, 30, 40 years, that does not mean that you're a mature Christian. It's not about the year, it's about the mileage. There's a lot of people that are in church and they've been saved for decades and they're still babies. That's just the reality of it. You got a lot of people that should know better. They've been under preaching for years and years and years, and they haven't grown a bit. And they're still babies. That's why they have strife. That's why they cause contention, because they hadn't grown up yet. And I want to be harsh with them. In my heart, I want to be harsh with them. I want to be tell them that they're wrong because they ought to know better. But the reality is they're still a babe in Christ. And that's God's baby. Yeah, they're immature. Yeah, they have stinky diapers, spiritually speaking. No one wants to be around them, right? They just, their spirit stinks. But that's God's baby. That's God's child. We ought to be gentle with them. It says, to speak evil of no man, to be no brawlers, but gentle, showing all meekness unto all men. You want to know why we should do that? Well, you want to know why we ought to be gentle with all to unto all men? The very next verse. Verse 3. For we ourselves also were sometimes foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving diverse lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another. You want to know why you ought to be gentle with that other person, with that other believer that's immature? Because you were once immature yourself. For we ourselves also were sometimes foolish. And you don't want to be patient. You don't want to be gentle. You don't want to be meek with somebody that's immature and they're just being a baby. You need to realize that, hey, you were also immature. And you are also a babe in Christ. You were also foolish at one time. And somebody was gentle with you and brought you up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord, and you got to where you are now, and any kind of maturity at all, it's not because of you. It's because God putting people in your life and God growing you up, and He was gentle with you, and other people were gentle with you, and other people were long-suffering. Why don't you take that same gentleness that you received and give it to the next person that's trying to grow, that's trying to mature, and be patient with them and be gentle with them? If not, you're going to be hasty. If not, you're going to be brawling. You're going to cause all sorts of damage. Turn to James chapter 3. James chapter number 3. Is everybody doing okay? Y'all all right? All right, good. Just making sure I'm not by myself here with just me and Brother Drew. James chapter number 3. In verse number 13, James 3, verse 13. It said, Who is a wise man and endued with knowledge? All right, so you got some wisdom, huh? You got some knowledge that you want to give out. Like, hey, I got some knowledge for this babe, this person that apparently he doesn't know any better. So I'm going to go give this knowledge because I got some wisdom, I got some knowledge, and he needs to know what I'm thinking. Who is a wise man and do with knowledge among you? Let him show out of a good conversation his works with meekness of wisdom. See, it's not enough just to have knowledge and go tell other people what they should and shouldn't be doing. Right? It's not just about having this wisdom and just going out and telling everybody off. We're supposed to have meekness of wisdom. Have that humility enough, have that gentleness enough to give it with the right spirit. Verse 14, but if ye have bitter envying and strife in your heart. See, the problem is we got a bunch of strife in our heart. I've got a bunch of strife in my heart where I just want to fight because I'm right. If you have that, if you have bitter envying and strife in your hearts, glory not and lie not against the truth. This wisdom descendeth not from above, but is earthly, sensual, devilish. That is a mouthful right there. Did y'all hear what the Bible just said? That wisdom, the wisdom that you want to give out when there's strife in your hearts, and you just want to give people knowledge and give people wisdom because you need to tell them a thing or two. The Bible says that's from the devil. That wisdom's not from God. God didn't lead you to say that. Have you ever saw somebody like that? They come up, I just feel like the Lord wants me to tell you this, and then they tell them off. Right? That ain't from God. That's from a heart full of strife. And that comes from the devil. You want to know why? You want to know why it comes from the devil? Because that divides the brethren, not unifies them. And that's what the devil wants. Verse 16, for where envying and strife is, there is confusion and every evil work. That's another mouthful right there. You ever heard of the verse over there that says the love of money is the root of all evil? This Bible's saying that if you have envying and strife, where that is, it's every evil work. Every evil work can be traced back to envying and strife. Verse 17, but the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable. What's the next word? Gentle and easy to be entreated. Are you easy to be entreated? When someone comes up to you and wants to get your counsel, wants to get your advice, do they feel comfortable getting that, or do they know that you're going to tell them off? Do people, when they talk to you, or do they act like you're a ticking time bomb that you can explode at any moment? Do you reckon your family feels that way? Speaking of myself here, do you reckon that we're easy to be entreated? Well, how come they didn't come talk to me about this? Maybe they thought that you was going to explode. All right. But the wisdom that is from above, talking about that wisdom that comes from God, is pure, peaceable. Is there any peace at your home? Gentle, easy to be entreated, full of mercy. How merciful are you to your kids? How merciful are you to other believers in the church? It's full of mercy, full of good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. And the fruit of the righteous is sown in peace of them that make peace. A few more verses, then we're done, okay? Look at two more verses. I know we're almost out of time. I hope y'all getting some help here. Turn to 2 Samuel again, real quick. 2 Samuel, I want to show you this, and then we're done. two more references here. 2 Samuel chapter 22. Verse number 33. It says, God is my strength and power, and he maketh my way perfect. Verse 34. He maketh my feet like hinds' feet, and setteth me upon my high places. He teacheth my hands to war, so that a bow of steel is broken by mine arms. Verse 36, 2 Samuel 22, 36. Thou hast also given me the shield of thy salvation, and thy gentleness hath made me great. You know, if you have any kind of greatness, if you have any kind of maturity, if you've grown in the Lord at all, it's because God has been gentle with you. And you didn't get here by yourself. You had some help. And somebody was gentle. And I thank God that God was gentle with us. Aren't you glad God was gentle with you? Turn to Isaiah 40 real quick. Last one, Isaiah 40. Isaiah 40. Verse number 10. I love that that song that your daughter sang at the New Providence, the voice of the shepherd. I'm telling you, God's our shepherd, and he's gentle with us. Look at verse number 10, Isaiah 40, verse number 10. Behold, the Lord God will come with strong hand, and his arm shall rule for him. Behold, his reward is with him, and his work before him. He shall feed his flock like a shepherd. He shall gather the lambs with his arm and carry them in his bosom, and shall gently lead those that are with young. If you want to be a leader, you're going to have to be like Jesus Christ and have the meekness and gentleness of Christ to be able to lead your family, to be able to lead other believers. You want to disciple them, you want to show them what the Bible says, you want to lead. You want to lead people to the right way? You're supposed to do that gently. And that's how God does it. He gently leads those that are with you. All right, we're out of time. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you for this day. Lord, thank you for your word. I ask you to bless it now in Jesus' name. Amen.